I greet you in Jesus' worthy name this morning. And the message this morning is a continuum from about 4 weeks ago. The home, a haven. And I don't know, several things I've thought about in these course of 4 weeks. And I don't know if it was the devil or the spirit or somewhere in between, but you know, you always run through this stuff in your mind after you get done saying something. I was like, well, why? But anyhow. There are several things I want to say this morning before I get started. And first off, that I'm not preaching this message. I'm not preaching this message on the home because I hold myself as an example. Because I looked at this and I realized how many times I fail and how many times we as individuals fail. And we just need to remember that we open up the scriptures and what we read in the scriptures we apply to our lives. And we take what we read and we apply it every day to our lives and grow thereby. And it's only if we are willing to do that that we can actually take what we hear on what we'd study on Sunday morning or what we study ourselves personally and allow it to make a difference in our lives in a way we can grow. Another thing I want to be clear, and that is that I am not preaching this because I feel like there's an obvious need. But rather, that together we can learn and know how God intends our homes to be built. Think about it a lot like I'm not a mechanic. I really don't proclaim to know much about mechanics. But I do know one thing, and that is our cars need oil. And it's also important that we change the oil in our cars, but since I'm not a mechanic, and since I don't understand everything about that, sometimes my vehicles push the upper end on when they ought to be changed. And I think that if I actually understood how oil breaks down and how the mechanics in an engine really needs to work, I'd probably be a lot more prompt at changing my oil. And I just want to help that we can undergird the reason our homes actually do work and the reasons that we have Christian homes and the reason that what the world's trying isn't working is because they're not following what God has. And if we cannot look to the scripture and understand what we have, what are we going to pass on to the next generation? And I also want to say that if I have been too strong on some previous points, I think we need to understand that this is what the Word says, and we can build thereby. So as a review, we talked about the home as a haven. We talked about the haven as a harbor or a port is one of the meanings for it. And a haven is also a place of safety and a refuge. And we're looking at this in the context of our homes are a safe place for our children and for ourselves. Because all people have a home. There's something they're springing from every morning, and there's something that they're, so there's some place that we grew up in, and it was our home. And another definition for a haven is a place offering of favorable opportunities or conditions, and a place that we can provide the best opportunity for our children to grow and start a life of living for God and others. We looked at the origin of the homes, and we understood the homes are of God's design. Based from Genesis 2, we had one man and one woman for life from Matthew. We looked at the function of the home. We started there, and we got to the man. And I just want to undergird this morning the importance of the man in the home. The man and the husband, the father, the leader of the home is extremely critical. God designed it that way, and we must recognize that's what God designed until God decides something different, until God takes the man out of the home, which that happens. But it's important that the husband, the man is the husband and the father. He is the leader of the home and authority structure as designed by God. He leads the home in authority, but he is still under the authority of God. And when man recognizes that proper level, that he is not absolute, but he is still under authority of someone else and of God, is when he can be most effective. Men are called to love and provide for their wives and teach their children. They're to love their families. They're to put everything into it. We talked about that. And the importance that if man does not love entirely, it can affect the home. He must love his wife and meet their needs because men is called to lead, men is called to provide. So now this morning, I want to look at the women and the wives of the home and the children in the home and then kind of tying it together to the purpose. So open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Some of these chapters we have looked at last time because a lot of times it talks to the husband and the wife and the children all in one time. But we want to continue our study on this. So Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like to begin reading in verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Yet no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So I want to look at point number one under the women. We have the woman is called to submit and to reverence. Wives are called to submit. And the word submit means what we think it does. It means to put oneself under, to be in obedience to. And then it says they're called to reverence their husbands. And this word as a man took me back. Because reverence your husband means to be in awe of. And speaking from the man's side of the house, we're not God. And I think this pushes us as men to an extreme high calling. Your wife is to be in awe of you. It's what the Bible says. They're supposed to reverence their husbands, they're supposed to submit, and then they're going to reverence. Man is called to lead the home, but the women are called to submit and to respect. And we see this, we see another side of the triangle continue to form, where you have three pieces fit together, and each person takes their own part. In this passage presents a cohesion that, if built upon, can make an extremely strong bond. But you can also look at this passage and begin to chip this thing away, and you can nail this thing all the way, tear it all the way apart. And it gives ample room for accusations. We have here, it says that man is to love his wife and wives are to submit. And if man loves his wife properly and wives submit to their wife, they give each other ample opportunity to bloom. Where the man loves his wife and the wife submits because the man loves, and then the man loves the wife more, and it just continues to ball up. But as just as one is contingent on the other to make a circle, just as fast that can fall apart. Where the man can say, "I don't need to love my wife because she doesn't submit to me," and the wife says, "I don't need to submit to my husband because he doesn't love me." But the Bible is very clear that this is the way it's supposed to work. And if we recognize ourselves as fallible human beings, that we are not perfect and can live in forgiveness and love towards other, then we can love our wives in spite of their not always willing to submit or reverence. And the wives can submit and reverence in spite of the lack of love you may feel from your husband. In today's society, with the women's right and liberation, this teaching is easily neglected. They say, "Well, men failed. We don't want to do it." But we come back to the scripture, and the scripture stands for time. This is not tradition. This is not something that was once and done. This is not something that the New Age is going to take away. It says, wives submit and reverence. So how far away can we get this before it begins to break this thing down? Our children see that in us. They see the children in our homes that grow up. They can see whether the mom submits to dad or whether mom kind of wants to run her own life and dad is submitting to mom. Strong homes are built when each person takes, and I'm just amazed when these chapters are, when this is written, how it breaks so strong. And then we'll also submit as unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And I just find it interesting as it brings out the thing about man and woman, the husband and wife, it comes down. And that's after verses 12, 13, 14, and 15, where it talks about you live with mercy and kindness and humbleness and meekness, long-suffering, forgiving, forbearance. It's a whole list of things. And it goes on, it says, and you have charity and peace. And then it says, by the way, wives submit and husbands love. We're told, even we know that as fallible man, we're going to fall, but we are told that in light of this, you extend mercy, you give kindness, humbleness. When men, we are humble, and women, we are humble, and recognize our proper places instead of agenda for ourselves, it works beautiful. It pulls together. Wives need to submit to the husbands as to the Lord. It's what the Bible says. It's very clear. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. When asked not to break a higher law, a woman is called to submit to man. Man was placed in the home, man was placed as the leader, and man was placed under Christ and above woman. And woman submits to man. Now, if man asks a woman to do something that's not according to Scripture, a woman needs to recognize that she is accountable before God for her own life. But outside of that, women need to submit to man. And I want to, as we men think about this, think about what the women are called to do. I think it ought to push us men. I know last time I was pretty strong on the men's side that we need to make sure. But the reason we need to look at the reason the man needs to love and we got to build this up is because this is what the Bible tells the ladies to do. The ladies are called to submit to us. And if man's a fallen leader, if man's not going to work in his part, how can we expect the women to work in theirs? The wife and the woman in the home can strongly complement your husband. You spend more hours in the home and more hours with the children than we as men can. But you can complement or tear down your husband and your home structure in your husband's absence. And it's very encouraging to know that that doesn't happen. It's sad when it does. But is the wife willing to stand in her place and know what her husband wants? And when the children come asking in her husband's absence, the children get pretty much the same answer. And are we as men willing to portray our concept of home life to our wives that they can work in the environment that we place them in? Or are we putting them in places that they don't want to get, that they're not comfortable going? Wives need to follow the husband's spiritual direction. In 1 Corinthians 14, 34 to 35, we talked about this last time with the men, that the men need to study the word. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Women, are you willing to look at your men and recognize the spiritual direction that comes to you is coming through your husband? It's what the Bible says, but it's what the Bible says that is supposed to happen. Your husband is responsible for your welfare, and you are simply called to submit to that. If your husband is leading you astray, he will be held accountable to that. Because according to the word, women is to submit, and you will be held accountable to whether or not you submitted to your husband. Your husband's lack or negligence in discovering and interpreting spiritual things does not give interpreting the Bible does not give you excuse to not follow the Bible and go around him. Because if we can find that, because he's not doing his part, then are you doing yours? Women need to submit to the man's provision in the home. The man of the leader, as leader of the home, is called to provide for the home. He's called to provide for the physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. And women need to submit to that. Man is responsible to work and provide the income. And as wives, you need to submit to what he provides and be good stewards of those resources. Wives frivolously spending what is brought in or implying that not enough is or there's not enough is not living in submission to God and your husband. Man works, and women can support that and take those dollars and stretch them as far as they can, or they can constantly live that you're just not working hard enough, I wish you would bring in more. And that's a fine balance to live. That's a fine balance. But if we see and we believe that women submit to men and men is the leader, then we're going to do everything possible to help him excel. And then women as moms. Women are called to teach the younger. We discussed earlier that fathers are to bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But in Titus, turn with me to Titus 2. Titus 2, it talks about the aged women. And I told my wife yesterday, I think there's only one lady here that I'd appreciate the term aged. But I think we need to understand that aged women means someone older than somebody else. And you can look around, and unless you're in your mom's arms, you can find someone you're older than. So it says the aged women are to teach the younger women. And starting reading in verse 3, it says the aged women likewise, that they be in your behavior as becoming holiness. Not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So we discussed earlier that as fathers are supposed to direct the home, fathers are supposed to teach, but there comes a time when a father over his children can only teach the young ladies so much. And then it becomes the mom, the wife of the home, to teach the young ladies, your teenage daughters, whatever age they are. You need to teach them. You can teach them things that men can't teach them. It says to teach them to be sober, to have a sound mind, not frivolous. Moms and ladies can teach that. Sometimes us men, there's a disconnect. It doesn't work. But women have a critical role in the home for that. They teach the young ladies to be sober. They teach the young ladies to love their husbands. And this is best taught for example. This is best taught by example. I heard it said already that the Bible never says that a woman is to love her husband. But this is the one place I found that it says that. It says that the women or the aged ladies are supposed to teach the young ladies to love their husbands. So if you aren't loving your husband and you're not supporting your husband and not submitting to your husband, how are you planning to teach that to the next generation? Wives should submit out of love and not just out of duty and obedience to the word. And that may be a little bit of a paradox, but I believe there is a time when a woman submits to her husband because she's obeying the Bible, when her husband's not right. And there's also a time when there's also times whenever women love their husbands, which is the way that God designed it. Women love their husbands and submit because of love. They're also, women are supposed to teach, the aged women are supposed to teach younger women to love their children. We say, well, that's natural. But somewhere there is somewhere we need to teach, the young ladies need to be taught to love their children, to love domestic duties, to care for children as a mother, to be in the home and to appreciate that. And there's a lot, there's a major push in the world today that to chase a career. They're also supposed to teach them to be discreet, self-controlled, moderate in opinion and passion. And I think sometimes that you can help your sons with this too, because we need it. Too many times we get on a bandwagon, and it's important that the aged ladies, that the women of the home, can help teach those, says young ladies, but also everyone, to be discreet, to be moderate. You're always supposed to teach your young ladies to be chaste, which is innocent, modest, and pure. This is what you are teaching. And whether you have daughters, whether you don't have daughters, you're teaching someone this, if you're living this in your home. It says to teach to be keepers at home. Keepers of home means a stayer at home, domestically inclined. Women need to teach their daughters that keeping house and being available for the family is an honor. Domestic duties are honorable. And it can be as much of an honor and as fulfilling as trying to excel in a professional career. A lot of times in the modern world we live in today, there's a big push that the mom lives the double life. She works away and she takes care of the home some. But it's important to understand that even though that is new and it may sound and it makes sense, it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that women are taught to keep house, keepers at home. They're supposed to be good. And that simply means good. Teach our young daughters and young children to be good, not bad. That's kind of a black and white. It says that to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So the young older ladies need to teach the young ladies to obey their husbands. Because there's obviously, from what I studied, in this time there was accusations placed at the church that because you follow Jesus, you're not living your lives right. And he says that we follow the order of headship of God. If we follow the order, then people can see the beauty of a Christian home. To the young men, we told them that they should desire marriage. And here we see that young ladies should be taught to love their husbands and care for a husband and children. And once again, we see this paradox. We see this completeness, how it takes both sides of the coin to make it complete. If men don't desire marriage, there are ladies that are being taught but not given the opportunity to marry. And if ladies don't desire marriage, if ladies are not taught to be domestically inclined, but pushed to be career women, there may be young men desiring marriage but not able to find a wife. So maybe we do come down hard on points, but do we see how together this complements each other? And you can't have one without the other. Because the Bible's clear that man is not without the woman, and the woman's not without the man. And life revolves around. And when this works together, then we come to the third part of the home. You have the father and mother, which are strong. And the third part of the home is the children. We see these three parts need to work together best if they are independently and interdependently connected through God. We each need to have an independent relationship with God, but we also need to have an interdependent relationship with God. And to the children this morning, I speak to those who understand what I'm saying. So if you don't understand what I'm saying, I'm not talking to you. But somewhere in age, as children grow up, they can either be a major asset to the home or a major liability. And I hesitate to use the word liability, but if you understand what I mean by that, then do something about it. So children, homes that are havens, they start with a husband and a wife, each fulfilling their part. And then children come into the home, and the children are a unique part of this situation because the home is built with husband and wife, and you have a strong husband and a strong wife, it works. And then children are born into this home, and the only thing they know is what they were taught. But in spite of your parents' failures, in spite of your own inclinations, in spite of what your friend says to how dumb your dad is, or whatever the story goes on, in spite of that, you are called. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first command with you with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." And then also look up Colossians 3, verse 20. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." We see this first is obedience. Children need to obey. And it just says it's right and it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Your fathers and your fathers are responsible for leading your home. And just as we talked about earlier that the women and men cannot get their roles mixed up, the men and the children and the wife and the children should not get their roles mixed up. If fathers, if you let your children run your home, you're running to a disaster. And women, if we encourage our children to run the home, we're going to run into a disaster. And if we don't each do our part, it's going to crumble. Your father is responsible to lead your home. Listen to him. Because mom is supporting dad. And it will function. The other thing is to remember is your parents or you are placed in your home by God. You're there by God. God created you in your home. And your home, no matter how imperfect it is the best place for you. Maybe your parents, maybe there's things in you wishing your parents would do differently. But you are placed there for a reason. And you can use what you know from them to build and grow. Someday you may be responsible for your own home. But while you are in your father's home, you are called to be obedient to your parents. You learn to obey and respect authority. You will be more effective in authority when you are called to wherever authority you will be placed. You will be placed to in your life, and it starts now. It starts when you understand. It starts when you begin to care. The other thing we read is that he says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." That's the first command with promise. We see that coming from Exodus 20. The Israelites in the Ten Commandments are told to honor thy father and thy mother. Honoring your parents need to start while you live at home, and honoring your parents doesn't necessarily ever stop until your parents are buried. And there's a way we can honor our parents, whether they be good parents, or whether they be poor parents, or whether they just be plain bad parents. There's a way we can honor them. Because we are required to honor our parents because our parents have provided for us before we can provide for ourselves. They gave us everything we need. They gave us food and clothing and shelter. They gave us everything we needed to grow up to be where you are today. Young men need not to be ashamed of helping your mom or helping your grandmom or grandparents, because that connection with the generation is part of who you are today. And to the young ladies, respect your dad. I remember growing up that my sisters thought my dad was just out of touch. Maybe he was. I don't know. But dads do have an insight to a young lady's life, whether they want to submit to it or not. So listen to your dad. There's nothing shameful about your dad, even though he is maybe an older man or whatever classification you want to put him in. There is nothing shameful about that. Honoring your parents does not have an ending as much as obedience, because there comes a time when a young man and a young lady start their own home. They are going to be responsible to each other. We talked about that earlier. That they are required to make decisions for their home, and it may be different than their parents' home. If they are following the word, they will grow. But honor continues on. And I think it's important that we as parents, we as dads and moms, instill in our children the importance of honoring as we honor our parents. Are we as children, are we willing to go to help our parents in time of need? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to honor them? Because each parent has a different thing they expect from their children. And it's okay to follow that and give honor to our parents because of that. And when we do that and teach our children that we honor our parents, then they will be more likely to honor us because they see the respect. They see a level of respect. Just as authority, as man places himself under authority, will help people under his authority respect him. The same goes for respect. Children who have learned to obey and honor will be able to start the process of building another home for another generation that will continue to promulgate righteousness and Christianity in a world that's rapidly disintegrating of removing all semblance of godliness in the home. They want to try it their way, something totally different. I think we as parents need to remember it's important to include our children, and as children accept it, that identifying with your grandparents and helping your parents with your grandparents is an honor because it's somewhere beyond you. So what is the purpose of a Christian home? The purpose of a Christian home is to give of children a place of peace where they can grow and flourish in a structured environment. If we have a home, it can become a place of peace and not a place of strife. Children can be at rest, the husband can be at rest, the wife can be at rest when all parties are pulling for their same side, or pulling to the same goal. And in the world today, children are being taught that they are the center of the universe and the world revolves around them. And it don't take very many years before you see what happens whenever they suddenly realize that that's not quite the way life works. Or I guess I grew up with a whole bunch of people that thought that, and it doesn't work. Men and women are attempting to reverse roles and live independently without the other. And children in that environment continue to try new things that are contrary to what we know to be true. Building our homes focused on God and rooted in the plan He provides will give our children a platform to grow in service to God and the community around them. Once we take our children in a home that is structured and balanced, when they leave that haven and go out into the world somewhere else, they're going to leave your port and they're going to go be an influence somewhere. What did you give them? What did we give them? It also gives us, as individuals, a place to come back to and relax and know that things are okay. The church only grows at one generation at a time. And after you, it will be another generation. And this past week, I listened to a sermon by a brother in another congregation. I recommend it to be listened to. It was preached by Brandon Byler at Shippensburg Christian Fellowship. And he talked about that he asked the people there if they understood, if they have a 200-year plan for their family. And I guess I challenge ourselves, do we have a vision for our families? Do we as men have a vision for our families? Do we have a vision for our families that is beyond just the children beside us on the bench? Do we have a vision for our families beyond just our children's children? And what are we doing in light of that? What are we doing and what are we building that will give, that will continue to give the most opportunity to continue to promulgate righteousness? And if we don't want to think about 200 years, he said eight generations, 200 years. If we don't want to think about 200 years, let's break it down and think about 100 years. That's four generations. Some people see four generations. And what is going to be left? If people take the life we live, are we interested in just taking what we have and make carbon copies of ourselves and our standards and whatever it is? Are we interested in looking at our package and say we have a carbon copy we're going to make beyond us? Or are we interested in taking our children and pointing them to the Word and understanding the basis of what we do and why we do it, that they can grow thereby? And 200 years from now, 100 years from 100 or 200 years from now, the church will look different than what it does today, because we look different than what it did 200 years before us. But God is still being preached. And righteousness is still being promulgated, and we are finding a way of righteousness in our day because of some parents behind us that had people raised and presented truth. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3 in closing. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation... Or start reading at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he build thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we see in this verse that we are building, we have a foundation we are giving, and we are building on a foundation of Jesus Christ. And we build our homes upon that foundation. We can only choose. We can have a foundation we choose to build upon, but we can choose what we put in on top of that. But someday, in the future generations, what we have built, the homes we have built, will be tried by fire. And the only things we have, or the only thing we can take with us, is our children. Are we presenting them the best opportunity with homes built out of gold and precious stones? Or are we building our homes out of the things of the world, of straw and stubble, that when the fire does come, the house is going to collapse? I don't know if this is where the three little pigs story come from or not. But if you think about the story, the pig that did build with bricks, it was impenetrable. And it lasted, and people found refuge there. So as we go from this, in light of that, even if we make mistakes in our home, we can still find forgiveness, and we can still find holiness in God, and we can still be saved if we recognize our place in God. Because God does not save by clan or church or group. God saves by individuals. So we can still be saved in spite of our failures. So I don't want to discourage anyone. But I want to continue to, we can work together and grow and build up and have a church for tomorrow. Let's kneel in prayer.